last topic, or last session of this Sefer, has to do with, starts with loans. First in general about loans, and then about interest. So let's do halvot, mem dalet. Asur lakachat halva min chavero lo tzi ba'ofen shalim tzalovim imali gabot chavo. Gagon shemvakesh, shemkom lashkia v'esek motziya derech avedon. And then kein motziya lo to inyan me'ashol kiel dakein halvo. So you can't borrow money from somebody and spend it in a way that the lender can't get his money back. As in, if you say to him, hey, can I borrow money to go on vacation? So then it's fine. You can borrow money to go on vacation. But if you're borrowing money in order to use it for some kind of investment, or that's what he thinks it is, so you're going to invest it in your business and you'll be able to pay him back, so you have a way of paying him back. If he knows he's lending you money in a way that's being spent and not in a way that hopes to get him back, he has to know that up front. Unless it's a person who generally has money. Like if you're somewhere and like, hey, do you have a 5 shekels so I can get a soda, and you just generally have money, you don't happen to have cash on you, that's not what we're talking about. Because he knows, okay, tomorrow you'll be in your room, go to the ATM, generally you have money, you can give me 5 shekel back. Fine. Even though it's for a soda, but when I'm lending you this considerable amount of money to invest in your business, the point is that you're going to put it in your business. The business is going to make money. You'll be able to pay me back. And if I lend you that money and then you go on vacation with it, so my money did not help you in any way to be able to pay me back. So are you going to be able to pay me back? Well, if the person earns a living and it's just summertime and I want to take my family on vacation, so then it could be legitimate. Okay, I'll get a paycheck next month, and he knows that, then it's fine. But it's better if you're up front and say it's for vacation, and then the guy knows. But if there is a way that he can expect to get this money back, then it's okay. The problem is when he's expecting the money to be used for something, and he'll be able to get his money back from it, and you then use it for something else, and you don't tell him, he doesn't know that. So you use it to buy a house, so that the house doesn't, generate revenue. A store, a business does. So therein lies the problem. So you can't just go spend it on some fleeting need unless you inform him. But a guy is broke, no house, no job, and he borrows money for a house, so you have to let the lender know, hey, I'm buying a house with this money. And it's not like I'm going to quickly start a business and make money and be able to pay you back. If a person lends you money, he has to know, he doesn't always have to know what it's for. If it's a basic amount and you have a way of paying him back, then it's fine. But if you're borrowing money and it's not clear that you'll be able to pay him back, that's called Lova Velo Yishalim. That's a different kind of Isra. So you have to make sure he knows beforehand what he's getting himself into. And if you don't, so that you violated that Isra. Fine. Memhe. Mishiyagia Zmana Piron. Asu Lova Lechvosh Mamon Chavira Lomar Lo Lech Vashil Machar Etein Viyesh Ito Latei Lechshav. You can't, if you borrow money, when the time comes to pay it up, you can't avoid the person if you have the money. Okay, it's kind of awkward if you don't have the money, so you might avoid the person. Okay, therein is another issue, but at least it's understandable. But if you have the money in any way, it's problematic to avoid the person. So when the loan is due, you shouldn't push him off if you have it. And you can't avoid him, because what happens? Every time you hear him coming, all of a sudden your windows are closed, your light's out, you hide. And you go out the back door. So this guy's like, okay, I'm never getting my money back. Finally, somewhere, by chance, he manages to catch you somewhere. And he's really, really desperate to get his money back. It's been months since it was due. So what does he say? Okay, I'll take whatever I can get, because right now I'm getting nothing. So you owe him $10,000, you're like, okay, just pay me $5,000 and I'll call it even. So he's willing to be mocha on the other $5,000 just to get the $5,000. Now why did he do that? Because you were avoiding him all along. Now if you don't have the money, so then the fact that the guy's willing to be mocha on $5,000, that's very nice of him. But if you had the money and you just did this in order to get him to be mocha, you violated this issue. Okay? Yes?
Is this a problem for debts that don't have like a specific date to be paid back?
Yes.
So like even if you borrow money from parents, as soon as you have that money back,
you don't have to run to his room that minute. But in general, You know, if you borrow 5 shekel from me, you know, to get your coke, and then so you don't have to run to your room to get me the 5 shekel. But if I see you tomorrow, oh, I don't have my wallet on me. Fine. Okay, the next day. But it's expected that pretty soon you'll have the money and you'll pay me back. And the fact that you don't, even though you really have the money, because you're not poor, you have the 5 shekel. Maybe you don't have the 5 shekel. It's one thing, but you have it. It's just so then there lies the problem. So at a certain point, I will be like, forget it, I don't need this next 5 shekel. And if it's more than 5 shekel, and you'll be like, listen, I have 20 shekel on me, but I owe you 100 shekel. So I might say, just, you know, give me that. Why? Because I realize I'm not getting anything. And that's the problem. If you have the money and you're not paying it back, and it therefore causes the guy to forgive it, that's a problem.
Can you also say, like, I have the 5 shekels, but I want to use it for something else, and then I'll still try and pay you back?
Yeah, that's allowed. That's also legitimate. I know I borrowed 5 shekel on you for a soda yesterday. I brought 5 shekel with me, but I want another soda. Can I pay you tomorrow? So that's legitimate. Okay? Obviously, it might get annoying to the guy. They're like, no, go to your room, get another 5 shekel, give me that one. Okay. Say. Ribit. Kal huma oli kashel bisere ribit imlog tama dineham. Before I even get to ribit, if let's say you buy something, and you don't pay for it because you never got to pay for it. The person gave you the product, you never got to pay for it, and time goes by, you still owe the money. Even if the product no longer exists, if it got used, it's obsolete, it doesn't matter. Then you still owe the money. Ribit. Kalam va'aldi kashel bisrei ribit im lo lamadineim. It is very easy to violate the iser of interest of ribit if you didn't learn its rules. U'befrat tzarech shmira yitera b'makom shemekabel pachot onoten yater. And you have to be very careful anytime you get less than you're giving. Or you get more than you gave. One for the lova, one for the malva. Whether it's in money or any other benefits. Which is the person who gives the money or the merchandise or does the work. If he's paying a different price because he's paying later, that should be your red flag. I'm not saying it's automatically usher, automatically ribit. There's ways, there's solutions sometimes. But that's already the red flag that should give you pause. Anytime there's two prices, based on when you pay, pay now or pay later, that should ring a bell in your mind. I have to be aware there might be ribit here. Kol shekin tzarekli zahar b'halva'od arviyot shemefurash b'hem tashlumei ribit. Certainly, any time there's explicit interest mentioned, kagon, personal loans, mortgages, business loans, a preferred return on investments, leasing, and interest charges for late payments. Kiyesh harbei chavrot shem b'balut rov yudim. Because there are many companies that are owned by a majority of Jews. Two prices should be a red flag for ribit. It happens all the time. It happens, unfortunately, because it's a little bit of another issue, but I suspect, I don't actually know. I hope they're all reporting their income, but I've been in stores in Yerushalayim and, you know, let's say Mea Sharm, and there was a price. How much is that kippah, whatever it is? 50 shekel. And then he says, and I said, great. Pull out a credit card. And he goes, ah, oh, if you pay credit card, it's 60 shekel. So, I hope it's not because he's not reporting the 50 shekel income. Okay? Therein lies another issue of buying something from somebody who's not reporting his income to the government. We have those issues too. We've discussed some of those issues in this class already. I'm just going to say that right now, when he charges 50 shekel, he's able to make a living because he buys the kippah for a certain amount. He has to pay the rent, he has to pay all the employees of the store, the electricity, whatever else. And if he sells enough kippahs at 50 shekel, he'll be able to make a living, support his family. And if he has to pay 60, if you pay credit card, so he has to pay the merchant who runs the credit card service also a fee. Okay? So if he says, listen, every time I charge a credit card, it costs 3 shekel. Can you pay that 3 shekel fee? That's already legitimate. But if he says, no, 50 shekel cash, 60 shekel credit card, what is paying credit card? When you pay credit card, unless maybe debit cards might be slightly different. If you pay a regular credit card, you don't pay right now. You pay at the end of the month. In America, you actually pay credit cards at like the end of 60 days. Because at the end of the month, you get billed for it, and then you have 30 days to pay the bill. So you have a while. So in other words, I'm paying 50 shekel if I pay now, or I'm paying 60 shekel if I pay later. Does anybody hear that? Paying more to pay later should be your red flag for rebate. So it could be fine. Sometimes you might need a little bit of fine-tuning, but you have to be careful. But at least that should be your, wait a minute, something's up here. Let's figure out if what's the right thing to do. So you go to a store and it's a, if you buy an appliance and it's $500 an hour or $550 in a month, that's rebate, regardless of whether you take home the item now or in a month. One price for cash, one price for credit, that's rebate. What's that? Next. Memzayin. Asur lahalvot o lulvot beribit ben chaver ben lekrovav. You can lend or borrow with interest, even if it's your friend, even if it's your relative, afilo avlu bno, even father and son. Av shalo verak mishalim keneged schum haribit, even if you're only shehipsid amalve, even if you're only going to pay the interest that the lender is going to lose. Biglal shalo ayum altav bank, orak mishalim atzora ribit shalal amalve kedeshiye hu yilavem od ma'akum delvot lchaveru, or just paying whatever fees that this person is going to pay in order to get you the money. To understand this halacha, you have to understand the following. You have to understand the whole heter iska concept in general, which we'll get to in the next halacha, is the following. If I borrow $1,000 from you, January 1st, 2021, and I pay you back that $1,000, January 1st, 2022, you lost money in the modern economy. The fact that you didn't have that $1,000 to earn whatever percentage you can earn, it takes money to make money, also takes money to lose money, but it takes money to make money, your money works for you, your money does stuff. The fact that you didn't have it, you took a loss. Okay? The Torah economy says that when you borrow from a Jew, if you borrow $1,000, you give back $1,000. So that created a need that we're going to get to in a second to discuss the Heter Iska. How is it that I'm going to be able to not cause that guy a loss, because he's not going to want to lend me money? Because that means taking a loss if I only pay him back the value I got it for. So what we have here is that there's still an Issa rebate. The rebate is anytime I pay more than I got. So here, a person has money sitting in the bank. His money is earned, Gavaldik, a wonderful bank account. He's earning 3%. I don't know how he found such a bank account, but he's earning 3% on his money. So you bought $1,000. He has $1,000 in the bank. You need to borrow $1,000. You say, listen, I'll give you the 3%, $30. So I'll pay you back in a year, and I won't just give you the $1,000. So you're worried about losing the interest on your $1,000. I'll give you the interest too. So that instead of the bank giving you 30, I'll give you the 30. That's a problem. That's this rebus. There may be a way to do it. Again, after Isco, we'll discuss how to do it. But if you define the terms that way, we have a problem. So that's on where it's sitting in the bank, and you'll say, I'll just give you the same amount. But also, a guy doesn't have money, and I really need a loan, and I have bad credit, and I need a loan. So I go to a guy and say, listen, would you mind borrowing against your credit card? And the guy says, if I borrow against my credit card's going to charge me, I don't know, 17%. So I go, okay, I'll pay your credit card interest fee. So in other words, this guy is essentially getting me a loan of $1,000 and 17%. He's going to have to pay back his credit card in order to do that, and I'll pay it for him. Also not allowed. Okay? Because essentially this guy is lending me $1,000, and I'm paying back $1,000 plus 17%. Doesn't matter that he's then going to have to relay it. Now, I'm not saying there's no way to do it. Again, there's a phraseology, and I think he doesn't cover the Heter Iska enough, and that's why I suggested that after we finish his Sefer this week, then next week my topic will be understanding the Heter Iska, but on my own material, not his own. Not his. Okay? But you have to understand that paying him to just make up his loss from not having it in the bank, paying him to pay his bank fees, to pay his interest fees, is not allowed. That is the issur. So a person agrees to mortgage his house to lend you money, and you'll pay the bank back for him. So you have to make sure to do a heter iska. When it comes to rebeat, the Gemara tells us that anything can be rebeat, even being nicer to the person. The person lent you money, you can't greet him better than you normally did. You can't treat him better than you normally did. Okay, you are allowed to thank him. You could say thank you for the tear fund, whatever else you went through. But if you're all of a sudden nice to the person lent you money, that would be rebeat. Okay, you should be that nice to that person. So we find ways to have that happen. If this guy was nice enough to lend you money, but it can't be that it seems like quid pro quo. I gave you $1,000, and you gave him back $1,000, plus you say hello to him. That doesn't feel great. This also comes up. A guy goes to the vending machine. How much is a soda in the vending machine these days? It's been a while. Let's say it's 4 shekel. Okay. So what do you have? You have a 5 shekel. So while Reuben goes to the soda machine, gets you a soda, and he comes back and he says, "Yeah, 4 shekel." And you go, "Here's a 5. Keep it." So when you give him that 5 instead of 4, that's a problem. You can have him give it to tzedakah, but you can't just be mochel or give it as a matana. That's what he says in his footnotes in this book. Okay? It's a little bit complicated. I think, and what I understand in his notes is the following, is he can decide to charge you 5. Listen, I went to the machine and got it for you. Shekel for my tirchon. Then you give him 5 for it. Okay? But the minute that he's paying 4, and unless that, if it's his business can be to go get people sodas. That's a business. Okay, so then that's called a gopher business. You know, he's a shaliach. His job is to go around getting people things. People pay a lot of money for that. You know, there's trucks and, you know, entire industries based on delivering things to people. So he's allowed to do that too. And he can charge you for the product, and he can charge you for the delivery. That's allowed. But if it's, hey, I lent you 4 shekel essentially to pay a soda for a machine, and you're paying him 5, that's rebate. Okay? And you can't just be mochel rebate. But Memchet about the heter iska. Yesh harbei niskaot heter iska. V'rubam im lo kulam einam moalim l'chol halvot v'asakim l'minehem. Heter iska is this form, but it's a way of structuring the deal that it doesn't violate the iser rebate. It is not a get out of jail free card. It is not heter mechir, like heter mechirat chametz. Mechirat chametz, they have a blank form. You fill out your name, and to the extent that the mechirat chametz works, and you know, if they take the mechirat seriously, it works, because all you're doing is saying, the rabbi on behalf of everybody is going to the non-Jew to buy the chametz from this date to this date, so all you have to fill out is your name and your address and what the value of your chametz is, let's say, and he's doing the exact same thing for everybody else, the exact same transaction for everyone. So I could have a form where you just fill out your name. There are a lot of shtar where you just fill out your name. Okay, I'm now working on ksubos in the Moatza. I took a course with them, so I've been filling out for some chasana. So it says, on this date and this day, this chassan married this kala, and he agreed to give her this amount if they divorce. So the 90% of the ksuba is written every time. All we do is fill in the guy's name, the chassan's name, the kala's name. So a lot of shtara work that way. So because this heter works that way and that shtar works that way, some people think, oh, heter iska. So all I got to do is fill out my name, and now I can charge interest. And that's not the case when it comes to heter iska. Most heter iskas don't work with any other heter iskas form. And people don't realize that, and people think it's like a blanket heter, you just fill it out, and you know, and all is well. It's not like a vaccine, okay? But now you can just do anything you want. It has to structure the deal a certain way. And so we structure the deal that it's more like an investment rather than al regal achas, before we get to it in detail next week. Instead of saying, I borrowed $10,000 and I'm paying back $11,000, it says I'm borrowing $10,000 and I'm going to pay back only $10,000. But I'm not borrowing it. The heter iska says it's an investment. Instead of I'm borrowing $10,000, you're investing $10,000 with me. Ah, you know, when you're my investor, if you have a shares in the stock market, you know what they give you every year? They give you an annual report. You get this nice booklet, color pages, that says in it, you know, all the wonderful things the company did with your money. Okay? So so if you invested with me, you should have to show me and give me a report about what you did with my investment. But I'm not going to believe you. I think for everything you did, you need to bring me 2 idim. Now, this guy got a headache. Because this guy invested $10,000 with him, he has to show up and prove to him how he spent every dollar. I don't want to do that. So in the terms of the contract, he says, or if you don't want to do that headache, a buyout fee, $1,000. So now, instead of me borrowing $10,000 and paying back $11,000, you invested $10,000. I gave you back $11,000 in order to not have to prove how I use the money. Okay, that's our regular achas, what their interest goes. But in other words, realize that you have to structure that differently for every single case. It's not just, okay, now my chametz is sold. So each one has to be done with somebody familiar with the laws and familiar with how business works. That is about Hefer Iska. And finally, yes, question.
If you like borrowed money from someone and there was inflation, would that be the same as like paying them back according to the bank fee, like according to how much interest it would have made to the bank?
So you're not allowed to pay that difference in your...
Because that technically the money is worth more, so you have to pay how much it's worth.
No, you pay, if it's the same currency, so you borrow $10,000, it doesn't matter that now $10,000 has inflation, it's worth less or more, you pay back $10,000. That's how a loan works. We do get into problems where I borrowed in dollars and you pay me back in shekels, or you and I, you know, you're both Australian, so you're both South African. You're both South African, so you're used to paying in South African. You come here and somebody lends you money in shekel, and then he pays you back in shekels. So in the meantime, but he's also from South Africa, so you both think and work in South African. In the meantime, what you lent him was worth, you know, 15 rand, and when you got it back, it was worth 20 rand. So that might be a problem. So there's actually a solution for that, which is to have some rand on hand. In other words, because then you're not... In other words, I'm borrowing against the rand I have, even though that's not the ones I lent you. Okay? But it's already more complicated than that. But in general, whatever you buy in whatever currency, you have to give back the currency. It doesn't matter if there was inflation. You owe that amount. And that's part of the issue that we need to have the risk of, because people are like, hey, there's going to be inflation. So how am I going to get my money back? I'm taking a loss because of you. There's going to be inflation. You're going to give me back $1,000. $1,000 is not going to be worth as much anymore. You have to give me back $1,100. So how are we going to do it? So we're going to phrase it as an investment. Okay? Fine. Last sif, our code. Our code is non-Jewish courts, secular courts. Asur ladun im chaveru bifnei dayanei akum uberkot shalahem afilu bedin shedanim oto b'nei Yisrael. You cannot take a fellow Jew to a secular court even if the rule that they follow is the same. Afilu nitratza shnei bali adinim ladun bifnei masur. Even if both sides agree, it's not allowed. V'chol abal idon bifneihem harize rasha kilu chire v'gide v'irim yad v'torah moshe rabbeinu l'shalom. If you do it, you're a rasha who has blasphemed and mocked and derided and raised your hand up and saying, I want these laws, I don't want Jewish law. Haita yada akum tkefa. In our society, where the non-Jewish courts have more power than a beis din, ubal dino yolam, the guy is strong, many acholatzim mimeno b'dinei Yisrael, and if you take up the beis din, you might not be able to get your money. So you battle the dinei Yisrael chila. First you go to beis din, and you say, come to beis din. Guy doesn't want hallelujah tzeladun. Azayin al tarish shall be beis din latzil shelo b'nei akum yad baldino. So beis din can say, okay, this guy's not coming to beis din. Now you're allowed to go to secular court. But if you first went to beis din, now it's allowed. Okay, that guy has a problem for not agreeing except to go to secular, you know, not listening to beis din. But then now it's no longer you violating something. And we might even allow in certain cases it's a shaila to be asked. If you're dealing with somebody who's very difficult, not listening to Beis Din, so you could do it sometimes even without inviting him to Beis Din. if it's necessary, but you have to consult the POSIG for that. But in general, first he has to go to Beis Din. If he doesn't go to Beis Din and won't listen to Beis Din, then you can go to secular court. So we don't just go to a secular court. So it's an issue, by the way, if you're a lawyer, you have to make sure that the two sides are, if they're both Jews, that you're following halacha, that you're not following a secular court. If you're doing, you write a will, you have to make sure the will conforms to halacha. Snif halacha, whatever they call it. Seder. So let's just sum up, because we've been through 49 Sifim now of the Sefer, which really gave you, in short, a taste. Okay, Choshen Mishpat is a huge volume. Okay, but just things to think about and realize that, you know, halacha governs every aspect of our monetary life. And remember, it's the first question you get asked in Olam Abba. Gemara Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, says that six questions you'll get asked in Olam Abba. And the first question is, Nasata v'natata b'emuna, did you deal in business properly? Why is the next question is, Kavati Timotor, did you set aside time to learn Torah? All the other questions, do you get married and have children? There's a lot of important questions. The first one is Nasata v'natata b'emuna. It's about business. It's the first one, it's often explained, the first one shows your emuna in Hashem. Do you believe in Him? To prove it, you look and whether you dealt in business fairly and properly. Because if you understand that Hashem really controls everything, so then you would never cheat. You would never cheat in business if you understand that Hashem is really in charge and in control. And so all this Sefer, this wonderful Sefer that had it in really short hand, really short, and gave us a little taste of all the halachot and things to think about in every area of business and finances, and not only in our job, especially in our jobs one day, but also in our households, dealing with babysitters and workers and hiring a painter. Everything applies to every area of our life. So hopefully, if we're careful about it, we'll be able to answer affirmatively and get to Lom Haba Nasata Benatata Ben Muna. Yes, we followed all the halachot properly. Shkach.